just take a moment to pray. Some by prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you afresh. It's not the same thank you we gave you a few minutes ago. It's a new thank you. Because every time we think about how wonderful, how merciful and compassionate you've been to us, it requires a new thank you. Just like, Lord, you renew your blessings to us every day, we need to renew our thanksgiving. Quite honestly, we are so indebted to you that we can't thank you enough. You have been so wonderful. Matter of fact, Lord, you are so wonderful. Even right now, we want to run around this church. We want to lift our hands. We're torn between feel like crying on one side and feel like shouting on the other. Feel like crying, Lord, because we're sorry for our sins. We know we could have done better. But we feel like shouting because you kept us alive so we can do better. We're so ashamed of ourselves because we know we let you down. But we're so excited, Lord, that you forgave us and put your arms around us and said, it's going to be all right because I still love you. You see, some folk may never understand why we carry on like we do and why we swing from one emotion to the other, but as long as you understand, you're long-suffering like that and you're patient with us. Lord knows we're trying. So we bless your name. It's power in your name that some stuff going on around us, Lord, and some of us were shaken to our very core. We can't control what goes on in the world, but we can turn it over to you. We can't control what six people decide, but we trust you. And we're going to keep our cool. We're going to just keep holding on this little while longer. We're going to remind ourselves not to sit in the seat of judgment. Not going to talk about what might have been or what should have been, but we're just going to trust you. And it reminds me all the time that we'll understand it better by and by. So Lord, hear our prayer. Don't let us be foolish, but be wise. Don't let us lose our way over one circumstance or one situation, but be a people of faith and trust that in the end, yeah, that we keep on until the end. So God bless this moment for us, and open again our eyes and our ears, and we're going to celebrate again because you're so worthy. We're not going to shut down on you today. We're going to go ahead and bless your name. Give you all the praise and the glory. Make preaching a little easier. And make us what you would have us to be. Redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless him. Put your hands together. Everybody, come on, everybody. Come on, let's bless him. He's still worthy. Still worthy. Hallelujah. Maybe you're not a hand clapper. Maybe you're just a waver. Maybe you just like to move your head a little bit. But come on and show him some love and appreciation. Just let him know you still believe that he's worthy. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles if you will. I don't want to bother you too much. Matthew 9. Amen. I pray that you brought your Bible with you. If you don't have one, somebody ought to slide down by you or reach up and hand you one of them that's sitting collecting dust behind the pew. They are not ornaments. They're actually to be used. Amen. Matthew 9, New Testament of the Bible. And I have a New Living Translation, and you can follow me with what you have. I'm going to go to verse 9, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. A few verses to read today, so be patient, and we'll get along just quick as we can. Amen. Verse 9 says, as Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. Come, be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. That night, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guest, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. Pharisees were indignant. Why does your teacher eat with such scum? They asked his disciples. When he heard this, Jesus replied, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. For I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Appreciate y'all. God bless you. Everybody get comfortable. It's going to get a little bumpy. Might as well fasten your seatbelt. Amen. I'm going to put you on notice right now. I'm not going to preach Trayvon Martin. I'm going to preach Jesus. So ain't no need of you waiting on my response, because I've already talked to the Lord about that. But I come to preach Jesus. Okay, we got to learn how to keep going in spite of everything. And I'm going to tell you something right now while I'm at it. No matter what happens in the world, Jesus is still the answer. And he's still our celebration. Amen. That's enough of that. Okay. I want to look again. Dr. Corby, good to see y'all again. Sister Ava, fellas, God bless y'all, man. Good to see y'all. I want to go back and look at my lifting up verse. It's a summary verse as well, so it makes it easy to do the climax of the preaching. Jesus simply says, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices. But here's the kick now. He says, for I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach when guilt meets grace. Amen. When guilt meets grace. My previous statement was intended that you don't think I wrote this sermon because of a not guilty verdict. And I want you to understand that that's not the point. The point of the matter is the gospel clearly defines for us that we are sinners. And I knew already when I wrote this, I wasn't going to get no whole lot of amens right there. But let me see if I can help you to help yourself. Because Jesus says, I am the door. And to understand that in a more spiritual sense, I'll explain to you that the missionary mission or the thrust and the message of the gospel is that sinners would come not only to the door, but go through the door. Let me make you mad early. A whole lot of us don't mind hanging around the church, but don't want to be the church. We shout and sing and dance and get on ministries and sign up to be preachers and deacons and trustees, but we never go through the door. Might have quiet already. Jesus says, I am the door. And no man's going to get to my daddy except through me. And you can't go through me without going through me. That's the message of the gospel. The gospel was never meant to just make us shout and dance and run and fall and speak in tongues and lay hands. The message of the gospel is y'all sinners. Y'all need to be saved. Our guilt needs his grace. Amen. You know a whole lot of folk talking to me right now. Everybody trying to find a hiding place. But Jesus says, I am the door. The Brookville Church ain't the door. Tree of Life ain't the door. We're just substations. Just little filling stations. Just little places to get our thing together till the Lord comes. But Jesus says, I'm the door. And the thrust of the gospel is that he laid down his life for sinners. We were lost. The old folk were singing in the church, I was alone and idle, I was a sinner too. Y'all remember that song? Didn't say amen. Yeah. We can't sit in the church and think that because we're here and give a little tithe or offering or do a little something that we just straight up saved now. Jesus died for sinners. And he said, I'm not here for folk who think they're good enough. And some of us that's how we respond to the gospel as if we're already good enough. We done forgot who we was. Done got beside ourselves and think now because we put on the right color on a given day that the color was announced, or we done moved up a little closer to the front now and got a little bigger Bible and folk is calling our name with a new title in front of it, that we are already good enough. You ain't good enough. Sin is still in the world. And we still in the world. Look at your name and say, I'm still fighting. I'm in the fight of my life. Jesus says, I'm the door. And then he reminds us that what we're dealing with is uniform throughout. Yeah. All of us. Look at the name, say, you too. Amen. Look at the other one, say, and you. It's uniform throughout. Because when we look at Jesus, we gotta hang our head. Amen. We gotta hang our head and we got to be real careful about thinking we can just cozy up to Jesus because we've been in the church a while. Fear and reverence. Fear and trembling. Fear ought to be the mainstay of the Christian church. So he reminds us, he said, well, you know, I don't want folk to think I'm here just for y'all good folk. You good, clean church folk who ain't never done nothing. You folk who, because folk don't know you, don't really know you. You do know that everybody sitting by you ain't who you think they are. Say amen, somebody. Jesus said, fellas, I need it to be clear that y'all need to go learn this scripture. So he comes on rather strong, and nobody in the room expected that. First of all, Dr. Corbin, you can help him with it on the way home, but he comes along the road, and there is Matthew. You do know when Matthew got up that morning, he wasn't expecting this. And I want to put you on notice, some of y'all sitting here now already distracted, and I just started. Some of y'all wasn't expecting this. And some of us been coming into the church a whole lot of Sundays, still ain't expecting Jesus. A whole lot of us have made up our mind that the level of which I am saved is about as far as I'm going. But until your salvation is his salvation, you ain't got salvation. I see now, okay, all right, we're going to do it like this. You cannot save yourself. And you can't think that because you don't bother nobody or because you ain't been arrested or because you don't do what other folk do that you good to go. No, honey, homeboy, until your salvation is Jesus' salvation, you ain't there yet. You ain't already good enough. Some of us think we just gonna leave here and go straight to heaven. The devil is a liar. Matthew wasn't expecting it. He's sitting at his little tax booth, got his little tax papers laid out, waiting on folk to come and pay, and here comes Jesus. And that's what's going to happen to some of us, Sister Ava. You know, it's going to happen to a whole lot of folk that you're going to be minding your little business, thinking you got your little thing, and Jesus is going to stand in front of you. And notice now, I don't have a lot of time. Notice how Jesus doesn't waste no time and goes right to the point. And see, this is why a whole lot of us aren't really saved yet, because we have not gone right to the point. We got church so confused that we thinking because we dress up or do a thing that's it. Jesus looks right in his face and said, come be my disciple. That's right, straight on, ain't it? That's like getting hit with a ball bat. Jesus doesn't go and ask him nothing about nothing. Jesus doesn't say, well, where you from? You know, all that old lollygagging. Jesus says, listen, come be my disciple. And here's where we mess up at. The text says, and Matthew got up. He didn't say, well, what church you talking about starting? What denomination, Jesus, are you affiliated with? He didn't ask Jesus nothing. What he did was what some of us ought to do right now is just respond to the call. Got up. Watch this, and follow Jesus. whole lot of us don't mind getting up. Ain't gonna be no following. You got things to do. You got other pressing matters at hand. You kind of like that rich young ruler. You remember him, don't you? You remember what he told Jesus? Let me go take care of some business, and I'll hook up with you a little bit later on. And then when Jesus told him the level of intensity required to do the business, he said, that's just too much. You know what amazes me? Some of us sure ain't rich rulers. Some of us just poor. And ain't got nothing and still won't follow Jesus. I mean, I would think that if you ain't got much, you'd follow him who got everything. I'll let that work on you in a little while. That this guy gets up from his tax booth. He don't say, well, let me call my boss and get the rest of the day off. He don't concern himself with anything that was prior to Jesus saying, come. Let me get the church straight here for just a moment. You got to understand, whenever God calls somebody, whatever they were doing don't matter no more. And we got to learn how to do people like they told Lazarus. Just loose them and let them go. You can't keep talking about Rem. You don't know he used to be. Who cares what he used to be? God is calling him to a now. How many are glad God called you to a now? That's why Paul said old things got to pass away, man. Wait, let me go and put my 2 cents. We got to stop beating people down that the Lord calling to come up. Well, he used to do this. He'd be the biggest drug dealer. He used to do this. She was that, and he don't. Nobody care about that stuff. And let me tell you something. One of the reasons you can't let other folk go is because you know you haven't let go. Amen. Some of us got so much unforgiveness to ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves. Let me tell you something. Go get some of that stuff out your garage and out your closet. Holding on to mementos of your past. Let that stuff go. Clean out your storage locker across town. Turn the key in. Move forward. Every time somebody come up in the church new, you want to whisper, ain't that so-and-so? Ain't that the guy used to? I know her. I know she ain't up in here. You here? Suit and tie don't save us. Dresses don't save us. Jesus saved. See, all right. I thought we could do this short version. But let me help you understand something. The text says that Jesus does not come for folk who think they got it going on. Jesus come for folk that are sinners and recognize that is who I am. We call sinners now, and folk act like, you ain't talking to me. We start naming the role of the righteous, the grand. You got your chest out. But the Bible says, all. Trying to get a good mental picture in my head of all. Matthew gets up. Nobody in the crowd. No, notice this. There are already some disciples. They don't say, no, he can't go with us. They're glad to be in the number. And Jesus says, come on. And Matthew gets up and goes with Jesus. And watch the next thing. The Bible says, and that night, Matthew invited Jesus, the fellows, to come to his house. Now, I was going to preach along that little part right there, but I'm going to go on because there's more exciting stuff ahead. But it says, along with some of his co-workers. Now, I am going to get this in. I would venture to ask, how many of your co-workers know you following Jesus? How many of your co-workers can you invite, not to your house, but at least invite them to church? And then I look at you and go, say, what? How many folk know that you following Jesus?
Jesus says, come on. Matthew says, okay. So Matthew says, hey, tonight, Lord, let's go to my house and we're going to eat. I want to ask a question. Can Jesus even come to your house? Your neighbor look outside. I know they didn't invite Jesus over there. He said, now watch, this is where the good preaching comes in at, about 10 minutes after 12. He said, not only did he invite Jesus and the disciples and tax collectors, but here it is. And many other notorious, notary, of high notoriety sinners. Look at the name and say, that's how you got to the party. You didn't come because you worked with Matthew. You didn't come because you were the disciple. You got in here because you are a notorious sinner. Somebody ought to say amen. Thank God Matthew didn't invite just the A-list. Some of us know we ain't on no A-list. Some of us ain't on the B-list. It was only when we got to the part where he said, and other notoriety of sinners. In other words, you got a reputation for being who you are. And Matthew said, y'all, come on, y'all really need to be here. And this is why when people say to me, Dr. Corbett, I can't get nobody to come to church. I can't evangelize. Don't you know some notorious sinners? This is the verse you can use when they tell, nah, man, I ain't ready for church. Oh, yes, you are. You just right for church. Nah, man, I'm still slinging in the street. You just right for church. Man, I got to get my marriage together. You just right for church. Man, I'm still stealing and shoplifting and bootlegging. You just right for church. You got a calling card right now. You can go to all your friends and say the gospel of Matthew says that notorious sinners are welcome in the presence of God. We don't have to steal nobody from other churches. We don't have to try to convince our friend to leave where they are to come here. It's enough notorious sinners to fill up every church from Maine to Miami if you just invite them to the church. We excuse the people that we ought to be inviting. Man, remember, I can't bring my cousin up in there, man. You don't know my cousin. Jesus says, bring your cousin. With his cussing self. As he might try to steal an offering. Bring your stealing cousin. I've said other he invited many others. You know why? Because he knew them. You know, people tell me, I don't really know who to invite. You know some sinners of notoriety. Amen. You can't sit in the church thinking it's just for those who are already good. Even Jesus, when you remember the rich young ruler one more time, when he said, good master, Jesus even looked at him and said, why callest thou me good? You know what Jesus was saying? You don't know me like that. You calling me good? You don't even know what good is. Other notorious sinners, they're coming in. And watch this. And the Pharisees got upset. That's that high calling church there. That's that signifying church got upset. And that's what we do. Let me say, James says, be very mindful when people come in that you offer certain people a good seat and then you treat other people bad. In other words, James said, don't get it twisted when you got somebody to come in with a nice suit on and got a little, you know, Dolce & Gabbana on and got, you know, they got the hair right. And then when somebody come in who don't look good and smell kind of funny and are not from our little clique, you tell them, now sit right, the usher done forgot how to come all the way this far. You're going to put them in the back of the church. James said, don't get it twisted. Those are the people that you need to be moving up front. And don't get it twisted to think that because you look at them and think they high church, that they really somebody. I'm going to tell you something right now. All of us got a little snob in us. But the truth of the matter is, thanks be unto God, he looks beyond the exterior and blends us to the interior. There are some folk that we need to remember, were it not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. Ain't nobody don't talk to me now. The Pharisees got mad. This ain't right. Why would y'all bring Jesus to a dinner with sinners? That's who need him. Folk that are hurting need a help from a doctor. He said, listen, don't get it twisted, Pharisees. You got it all messed up. That's why y'all church gonna die. Healthy people. See, and here's the other side of it. We're almost done. Here's the other side of it. Whole lot of us faking healthy. Yeah, we faking like we healthy because, again, we think because we sing on a choir or we got some title or because don't nobody know enough about us that we already good to go. No, you ain't good to go. Not your name telling you got a long way to go yet. Oh, y'all waking up. I like that. Good. Look at another one and say, you too. Yeah, you sitting up here because you think you the pastor. You got it made. You got pastor. You need help too. I say amen from up here. He said, listen, don't think because you in church or you sitting with the right clothes on or you ain't doing as much as you used to do that you already good to go. See, that's a long way to go. And Jesus said, I came for them. You know what's going to happen? I just believe in my spiritual imagination on the day when the Lord comes to crack the sky. A whole lot of us high and holy folk going to have to get to the back of the line. Because some of them same people that we look down on our noses at and rolled our eyes, Jesus is going to say, come on around, stay right there, come on around. Those people that we look down on because they didn't have the kind of money we had, or didn't drive the kind of car we had, or because they had HIV, or because they were gay, or because they were this, and because they were that, you're going to think all that. No, Jesus is going to say, all y'all church folks, slide to the left. Come on, baby, I saw you when you suffered. That's why Jesus said, listen, when I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was naked, you clothed me. Jesus said, listen, those are the people that I'm coming for. And some of us in the church going to be thoroughly disappointed when we going to watch blind Bartimaeus walk by us. When we going to watch Hattie the prostitute walk by us. We going to watch those people that we thought were so low and so beneath us. When they walk by us and sitting up there next to Jesus. And we going to be standing in the back room trying, I don't believe he did that. Jesus is going to say, you missed the moment. Healthy people don't need no doctor. But a whole lot of us faking our condition of healthiness. That's why we leave church so disappointed every Sunday. So unfulfilled. Because if you had at least admitted you needed it, you could have got it. Sitting around here acting like you healthy. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't need that. Okay. It's your self-denial. Jesus said they need to learn this. Watch this. He said, now go learn something. Watch the next thing he said. He said, I don't want your sacrifices. See, a whole lot of us think because we give a little something. You know, we go, well, you know, that's my reasonable service. Most of us don't have a clue what reasonable service really is. Not based on the standard of God. Don't get quiet now. I've been doing this and I've been doing that. That's fine. That's good. That's what you should be doing. Jesus said, I don't want you just to sacrifice. Do it in love. Do it because it's the right thing to do to the glory of God. But please understand, don't miss the meaning of who I am. See, they had a problem with Jesus. One thing, some thought that he was Elijah. Some thought he was, I mean, they got identity issues. And then they misunderstood his motive. They thought he was coming to start war. Or reclaim. He said, well, I got to reclaim what's already mine. I ain't never lost nothing. They had him all twisted up. And you know, it's 2013. And Dr. Corbett, I don't know about Appomattox County, but in the city of Lynchburg, they still got him twisted. Because Jesus is not no cosmic bellhop that the only reason you praise him because he gave you something. Because you drive something or live somewhere and spending some money. That's not the only reason you praise God. You praise God because he died for your sins. And on the third day, he got up from the grave with all power. And because he lives, you can face your tomorrow. Thank God for Jesus. Ain't no cars going to heaven. Ain't no job titles going to heaven. None but the righteous. I thought I'd get some amens right there. I said, none but the righteous. Jesus said, that's what I'm here for. He said, I need you to understand that this is not going to always be available. I finish here. It's not going to always be available. He says, please make sure that the message don't get messed up, because the meaning of the message is me. Matthew did the right thing. Sitting around the table, everybody talking and a little milling going on. Jesus overheard this thing and said, wait a minute now, hold on. I didn't come from folk who think they got it like that. And see, we sit up in the church now, here we are 2013, and act like our guilt don't need no grace. I'm finna start it. You knew I would. Like, you ain't done nothing. Because you've been in the church 30 years. You ain't been purified and perfect for no 30 years. Some of y'all got sin on the agenda for this afternoon. Some of us going some clandestine places. We already there in our mind. We already, listen, before we get to most places, we've already been there in our minds. Playing how we going to do the darn thing. See, I'm going to go this way. Come on now. Because you got a few years on a certain pew. You ain't innocent. Your guilt need grace. Somebody ought to just holler grace. So he says, well, let's see what happens. Jesus says, I've come. And notice this. I've got to go. He said, listen, you can't profess to be saved by your own merits. Because see, some of us, our salvation is our version of salvation. I said it in the Christian Academy this morning. Too many of us are living by the at least theology. Well, at least I don't cuss as much as I used to. At least I don't drink as much as I used to. At least I don't hit my wife as much as I used to. And about that, at least stuff ain't going to take you from no place to no place. You cannot live by your own theology. Mighty quiet. Did I step on something? Then I'm finna bust something else upside the head. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And do what I say. You don't listen. Let me help you understand something. Can I go on and start this fight? Jesus did not promise eternal life to anybody but his sheep. Unless you are in the sheepfold of God, you ain't going to heaven. That's right, when people tell me, my mama and them sitting down looking and talking about who calling you up. Folks can call you all they want to from wherever they're calling you from. But unless you are secure in the sheepfold of Christ. I told him in Christian Academy, right then Isaiah 35, Dr. Corbett, you can help him with it. He said, there's a highway of holiness and only the righteous of God get to travel on that road. He said, listen, ain't nobody going unless they come through this door. And I am the door. I am the way, the truth. So don't sit here and act like you ain't guilty. Because all of us got guilt. Some of us have learned to minimize our guilt. Some of us have learned to hide our guilt. But you're guilty. And your guilt needs his grace. Once again, you ought to shout grace. So he says, all right, let me go. Let me see here. 22 minutes after the hour. He says, well, how do we get guilt and grace to bring them to glorification. Good little run there. First of all, I see that there is an opportunity. That's what Jesus does. Jesus is an opportunistic person. Jesus shows up. You know, when they sing that song in the church, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Whenever guilt meets grace, there's a fresh opportunity. That's why we have church every Sunday. Because every Sunday, we need a fresh opportunity. Am I right about it? Every Thursday, we need a fresh opportunity. Every Monday, we need a... Listen, I'm still scratching my head right about here why people don't want to pray with us on Monday. I can't for the life of me figure out how is it people so full of hell don't want to pray on Monday. Look how y'all looking at me. I'm telling you now, it amazes me that when we come into the house of God to pray, we got folk that go, I ain't got time for that. I ain't going way over there. How can you not pray unto a God of grace? Some of y'all unfolded up your arms again, looking at me like I'm crazy. I ain't crazy. You crazy. You got to be out of your mind not to pray without ceasing. You done bumped your head if you think you too busy to pray unto God. I can pray at my own house. I call for prayer at the church. Bible said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." The assembling is here. I don't disparage or tell you not to pray at home, but we're praying here. Let me see if I can give you one more example. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Come and go pray with me." They just said, "You going over there, Lord, and pray? We're gonna go on back uptown." No, he said, "Come on," and they said, "Okay." Now, granted, he went a little further to pray. Understand that. Am I off the subject? No. How can you not pray? It's your guilty self. As much guilt as you had, I'd want somebody to pray for me. Y'all gonna be praying Monday. I'm gonna be here. I've had a day. Prayer. And then let me just go on and put this 14 a little further out there. I can't understand how so-called Christian leaders won't pray. Maybe you need to go sit down for a while. You can't pray. I grew up in a church when people who were somebody for the Lord were always somebody for the Lord. I grew up in a time when you never saw preachers without suits on and a hat. You know, never saw deacons without a black suit on. You know what I mean? I'm just confused that now we got people who say, "I am, but you won't." Just me. You got guilt. You need grace. And at every fresh opportunity, you'll take advantage of it. All right, what did he say? Opportunity. That's what he said. Say opportunity. Jesus, his first opportunity. Watch this, Jasmine. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That sounds like an opportunity. You know what I like about Jesus? He never said, "Except y'all." Jesus never said, no, I don't want that kind. You know, we do that in the church all the time. We don't want but certain people on our committee. We don't want but certain people in our choir. We don't want but certain people in our pulpit. We don't want but certain people on this. And Jesus said, "I don't work like that." Can I help you understand something? If you really want to grow your church and sustain its growth, stop segregating and segmenting people with this silliness. Who then can be saved? Anybody. And if they can be saved, they are fit to serve. Oh, I didn't get no whole lot of help right there. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." In other words, come on, sinners. Come on. He said, "This is your opportunity. In the day that you hear my voice, harden not your hearts." Let me go and throw this one out there. Dr. Corbett, I see it happening right now. See, on Sunday morning, we come into church, and because we don't preach ice cream and cake and everybody ain't shouting. When we get to the hard part, your heart get hard. Some of y'all start looking all around, and then you're looking for your signifying hatred buddy, trying to see if they're going to signify with you that they don't like it either. But you better soften your heart, because you might just drop right where you are and not get a chance to get that thing right. I'm preaching up here. Ain't nobody looking at the floor. Looking all around like you don't hear me. I'm up here. Book still open. Hard. Then you get in the parking lot that way. Nobody want to hear that stuff. Sometimes you corrupt the message that some folk heard because they ain't strong enough to tell you to shut up. They really want to go home and work on this thing, and you done got them to the top stair and try, you see what I'm talking about? You need to leave folk alone. Because some folk, they too much your friend to tell you, would you please shut up? I'm trying to remember. He said, come on, it's your opportunity. Some of us sit right by folk and know we need to say, excuse me, I got to go. Jesus said, come on, it's your opportunity. And let me help you understand something. It is not going to make a whole lot of difference if you change churches. The first change that you need to make ain't the church, it's you. Because all you're going to go over there fresh and excited until they say something you don't like there. And then you're going to be right back where you start. I'm going. Some of us done had more memberships in churches than we can keep up with. It's one Jesus. And as long as the man or woman of God got the Bible open and can walk you through it, you might as well sit right where you are and say, you got me. Because we're guilty. On an ice cream and cake gospel. I was online the other day watching the church pastor, and all they were doing was running and jumping and running and jumping. And the preacher kept saying the same thing over and over, running. I'm saying, well, when he going to preach? That went on for 35 solid minutes. Boom, 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 boom. And they just running and running, and the camera panning, and he just hollering and screaming. And all he kept saying is, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I'm saying, where? And this is one of the churches in our area that everybody want to go to. See, I like to see what the competition really doing. I said, let me go see what's so excited about church. And I'm saying to all in, they just running and they falling on the floor and throwing sheets over the top of people. And he just prancing and prancing and prancing. And I'm saying, okay, wait. I went to four different of his services. They got them on. I said, and every week it was the same thing. Come on, praise the. I'm saying, preach. I don't want to go to no entertainment center. He said, come on, it's your opportunity. Second thing, he said, please understand, you're going to need to make a decision. How many of you ever heard somebody say, if I ever get out of here, I can never get out from under this. I can have that. But let me tell you why many of us, and we're done, it's right 12:30. Let me tell you why a whole lot of us really going to miss salvation. Because we're satisfied with our present situation. And until you are dissatisfied with your situation, you ain't going to get salvation. You think that the level of which you are in Christ Jesus right now is just fine. But notice what Matthew does now. He invites notorious sinners. And the Pharisees are twisted. Both of them got a problem. The Pharisees think they high church. And the sinners don't think they need church. Both of them going to hell. Unless they let their guilt meet his grace. Whole lot of folks are going to look back on this life and say, man, I wish I had accepted the true gospel. Whole lot of us. And a whole lot of us have gone to the funerals of loved ones and friends and know that they're going to hell. and died without the opportunity to get out from under. But you got a chance. Let me tell you something. Sin ain't nothing but prison. And most of us, if we talked to ourselves in realistic terms, would never want to go to prison. Let me see. How many of you would like to go to prison? Nobody, see? But sin is prison. It does not parole you. You stay there for life. And just like there is an eternal heaven, there is an eternal hell. And to go from one prison to another don't make no sense. You ever get out? How many of you know people that have been to jail? They always say, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to do better. Don't they tell you that? Not all of them do, but they tell you, man, if I get out of here, I ain't coming back. Well, you're not much different right now if you won't let your guilt meet his grace. If you could have lived better, wouldn't you have done better? Now is the day. Your opportunity. Second thing is, you hear people say this one, if I could start over. If I could start over. Well, you can. Bible says what? You must be born again. Not your name, tell me, you can start over. And we don't, let me say it like we say it, Jess. We say if I can start all over. Yeah, if I can start all over. And the reality is, Paul gives us an insight into that opportunity. He said, listen, old things will pass away and all things will become in Christ Jesus. There is not a world doctrine that can say that. Only in Christ Jesus are we afforded new life. Don't nobody want to talk to me now. Only in Christ Jesus. That's just plain good theology. Sick of your life? No, you're sick of your life. You're struggling. You're a sinner. You got issues, and you won't accept Jesus? It ain't in the bottle. It ain't in running lines. It ain't in getting away. You got to turn to Jesus. Those songs that look ever to Jesus, he'll carry you through. It's your opportunity to come out. This is good theology, to accept Jesus. They're sitting in the room with Jesus and ain't got sense enough to say, I yield. And we sit up in the church Sunday after Sunday with our own version of salvation rather than saying, I want his salvation. He says, I get that opportunity. Second piece, and we've done with it. He said, listen, understand, whenever your guilt meets his grace, you're going to have to deal with the obstacle. Can I deal with the obstacles for a second here? I know y'all ready to go, but the obstacles start with that you have an enemy. The devil is your enemy. And the Bible says he comes to do what? That sounds pretty thorough to me. Stolen lives. Destroyed lives. These guys are sitting in the room with Jesus and they got obstacles to deal with because they have an enemy. Bible said, listen, be very mindful that when you hear the gospel preached, immediately the enemy wants to snatch the message away. That's why some of us can't get from the top step to the door of our car without forgetting what was preached. Partly because while we're preaching, you've already checked out. You get to the car. Somebody say, well, what was the pastor preach? I don't know, child. He up there fussing. I ain't fussing. I ain't got time to be fussing. I'm just trying to get you to see that there's an opportunity here. But you're going to have to deal with the obstacles. The enemy does not want you to hear the gospel. Some of y'all camp out on Sunday. Wake up on Sunday morning. I'm kind of tired. I don't think I'm going today. But then Monday, you go to work, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and you go on vacation. Listen, I've never understood how we can take so much from God, but give so little to God. bless us with a new car. Cha-ching. Lord, bless us to go on vacation. Cha-ching. The Lord blessed us with a new house. Cha-ching. The Lord blessed me with new clothes. Cha-ching. The Lord healed my body. Cha-ching. Where was so-and-so Sunday? Tell you something now, and I'll tell you all this before me. Tell you again, I don't go nowhere in this world and not go to church on Sunday. I don't care where I am. I'm going to church on Sunday. And I'm going to give a gift on Sunday. I ain't but think five of y'all. Thank you. That's grace. I'm telling you right now, some of y'all are going to bust hell wide open because you stole from God and didn't have sense enough to honor him with your presence. I wouldn't do it. That's the trick of the enemy. You flying on airplanes and riding trains, driving all across the country with the favor of God. You do know the grace of God kept you. When that airplane fell out of the sky, it wasn't because they were greater sinners than the rest of us. But God kept you and put clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and money in your account. And on Sunday morning, you can't get past the obstacle. Around now saying, he talking to me. I am. Oh. He said, listen, the enemy won't steal the message from you. Then he said, the other obstacle is you are your own worst enemy. Paul asked the church of Galatia, Dr. Corbin, he said, listen, what happened to y'all? Y'all were doing so well. What got into you? He didn't say what happened to the preacher. He said, you all were running. Who held you back? Watch this. Go, if you get a chance, read the text. In verse 8, he gives an answer. He said, it certainly wasn't God. You know what gets me? Can I throw one more out there? It amazes me how we take out on God what we should be addressing with people. Yeah, I am. We take out on God. Listen, you mad at your pastor. Are you mad at the deacons? Are you mad at the choir? And then you don't go to church. And then you don't give. And then you won't serve. Listen, you need to go to them people. And say, listen, can I talk to you for a minute? Because whatever's going on in your life, God is not the instigator. Oh, Lord. Dr. Corbin, you ought to come here and see what I see. You need to deal with people. You're upset with your wife and you don't go to church. You mad at your boss. You don't go. Listen, go deal with them people. But give unto God what belongs to God. He's worthy of your praise. You ought alone to be in the presence of the Lord. Paul said to Galatians, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all were doing real good till you start getting twisted. He said, the enemy does it. Nobody asked. This is a good question, Wanda. He said, who held you back from following the truth? You know the gospel is the truth. Whether it's warm and fuzzy or not, it's the truth. And you do know that the best preaching is honest preaching. You can't expect us to sit around and tell you how wonderful you are and lie to you all the time. That's why the world got you messed up. He said, listen, who messed you up? Now, watch this. Daniel is praying. Y'all can help with this, preacher. Daniel is praying, and the Bible says that when the angel of the Lord arrived, he said, listen, Daniel, I need you to understand. I heard you the first day you started praying. But the prince of Persia held me up for 21 days. He said, I had an obstacle. I was trying to get you, but watch this. He said, but when Michael, the archangel, came and helped me, I was able to get away. In other words, there are obstacles even when you're praying and even when God wants to answer you, that the enemy tried to hold up God's answer sometimes. But he said, listen, just be patient and wait on the Lord. Because 21 days ago, I heard you. I was on my way, but I got some help and got away. Some of y'all need to recognize that God's trying to help you. There's an archangel trying to help you because you need to move your obstacles. Some of us sit right here every Sunday, maybe. Every other Sunday, maybe. Listen, I'm telling you something right now. I cannot imagine not praising God continually. I'm starting to think that some of y'all have started a church at your house or something because you cannot explain how you don't try to overcome the obstacles when you want God to be so opportunistic. He said that there are obstacles when guilt meets grace. But then he said the last thing he said, when guilt meets grace, and this is the closing argument, there are no options. No options. When guilt meets grace, there is no option. In other words, those of you who are here living and breathing, grace has met your guilt because you're not dead. And so your righteous response to God is yes. Because the Bible said there's a way that seems right. But that way is going to lead us straight to hell. Matter quiet. Because the Bible that I'm preaching from said that you can only enter the kingdom of God through the narrow gate. And what you cannot afford to keep doing is giving yourself options. But I don't have to go every Sunday. Yes, you do. I don't have to tithe. Yes, you do. I don't have to praise him. Yes, you do. I don't have to. Yes, you do. Because the Bible says there is a way that seems right. And stop hanging around your knucklehead friends who tell you, well, I don't go every Sunday and I'm doing all right. I don't tithe and I'm doing all right. Stop listening to foolishness. Mighty quiet. Ain't no options. Matthew got out of his chair and followed Jesus unto death. There is not a verse in scripture that suggests Matthew ever went back to tax collecting. You sit here looking at me, well, that's different. There's no difference. We may indeed go back to our jobs on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But in our hearts, we're following Jesus. And the reason why the church is pathetic and dying is because not enough of us are following Jesus. Everybody that Matthew invited showed up. So Matthew said, you know something about that boy? You want to opt out of God? And he said, listen, there is one way. It's narrow. And the text, I like this. He said, listen, that the road to hell is a broad road. See, you got options on a broad road. How many of y'all ever drove down a narrow road? And realize you better stay on your side because you don't know what's coming around. You ever get on the real, you know, you get on a narrow road, you drive with all caution. You're a little more careful. But you get on a broad road, you be swayed from side to side. You be trying, chilling out. When you're on a narrow road, you don't be riding like this. You ride like this. See, we're going to get on the interstate and we get wide open on the interstate. But I hear the Lord saying that the road is narrow. And I like this. He said, and listen, there are a whole lot of folk that will not choose the narrow way. Dr. Corbin, I lost a whole lot of them right after I called him the door. But he said, when you look at life, there are a whole lot of folk traveling on wide paved roads. And those roads are giving them the opportunities of options. There are those who say that if you join the church, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do it. That's a wide road. But I heard the Lord say, my road is a narrow road. And I'm not concerned when a whole lot of folk are not traveling that road. Because I hear him say that none but the righteous shall see God. But I also hear him saying, come unto me. And if you really want to come to me, you can come right now. But please understand that there's some difficulties on the road. Because you have an enemy who's trying to distract you. You have an enemy that's trying to delay you. You have an enemy that's trying to disturb you. Whole lot of us sitting in the church have that disturbed look on our faces. But it's good news for you today, honey, that no matter how disturbed you are, deliverance is knocking on the door. I hear the Lord saying you don't have to leave like that. You don't have to leave all upset and twitterpated. You can just release and trust in the Lord. Because God said when you look at your life, at the end of life, there will be an outcome. Look at your name and say outcome. Because no matter which choice you make, there will be an outcome. Please understand, beloved of God, inasmuch as there is eternal heaven, there is also eternal hell. And those of us who don't choose well are going to end up in eternal hell. It's not about Brookville, Tree of Life, or family life, but it is the Lord himself who's going to sit in the seat of judgment, and we're going to approach him one by one. And when you stand before the Lord, you won't stand with the AKAs. You won't stand with the Kappas. You won't stand with the Ruatan. You won't stand with Kiwanis. You won't stand with Churches United. You won't stand with the Ministers Association. You'll stand all by yourself. And the Lord will call your name and say, come on in, or move to the other side, because you made up your mind and decided a long time ago that Jesus was your choice. Look at a name and say, name. There will be an outcome. It doesn't matter how long you live. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. It doesn't matter which choir you sing on. It doesn't matter which pulpit you preach in. There will be an outcome. And the Bible says that none but the righteous shall see God. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that I want Jesus. I've made up my mind that Jesus is, and because he is, I will say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to salvation. Yes to grace. Yes to love. Yes to peace. Because there is an outcome. And the truth of the matter is, somebody in this room has got to make up your mind. Somebody in this congregation has got to turn it over and trust in the Lord. Don't fool yourself. There will be an outcome. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your attitude. God said there will be an outcome, because I've going to prepare a place, and where I am, that's where you can be. Look at your name and say, name up. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind that where he is, that's where I want to be. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Anybody want to see him? Anybody want to be there? Can you say it? Say it. Say it. There's going to be an outcome. The Bible says on the day when Jesus preached hard, that a whole lot of them walked away from him. He never turned around. He never chased after them. All he did was look at them that he had done the most for and ask a simple question. Will you leave me also? And they made up their mind. No, sir. We know that you are sent from God. They can do whatever they want to do, but I'm staying. I'm staying because I was a sinner, but your grace saved me. I know I was jacked up, but your grace saved me. I was strung out,
but your grace saved me. I was a liar, a thief, a whoremonger, but your grace saved me. Oh, for the grace. And I know that some of us have missed some opportunities, but don't miss this opportunity. Sinners having dinner with Jesus, who then can be saved? You can. Sinners having dinner with Jesus, none but the righteous shall see God. Sinners having dinner with Jesus, come out from among them. You can be saved. Let's make our minds up today that our guilt sure need his grace. And can I tell you, it's just one day at a time. Look around the room very quickly. There are no perfect people. Let me see if I can get you to be honest with me for just a moment. If you can just admit that you're struggling. See my hand up too. And you notice God ain't struck none of us down. Ain't no lightning bolts. The room ain't shaking. No plague, no locusts. But we're struggling. Man, sometimes it takes all I got. Just to make Monday prayer. Take all I got. Not to just say, man, the heck with this. Come on, how many ever thought about quitting? And it took all you had. Some of us had to call and say, Lord, if you just push one foot, I'll know you still mean it. Ever had that happen? If you had it when you were just right up to about here and said, God, if you just cook my neck just enough that I can breathe, I'll keep going. But if I hang my head, I'm going to drown. You ever had that water right here? And all you had to do, if you could just turn your head a little bit, you got about 5 more minutes. Because you know if you do this, God said, I know. If you're standing here today, he knows. Please understand. I know y'all ready to go. Please understand, you ain't fooling God. Your guilt need his grace. You know, there's an old thing we used to do in the church. We used to do this thing called being godly sorry. We don't see a whole lot of that much anymore. We used to really, you know, people used to mess up and you could tell the people who messed up because that Sunday, they tried to get as close to God as they could. They really were godly sorry. They really came and pray. You know, it used to be, Sister Ava, in church I went to when folk were godly sorry, they didn't wait for altar call. They went to the altar in the middle of the sermon. When they got hit with the part that they were guilty of, they got up and just went and started praying. And nobody looked at them funny. People went up there and prayed with them. I'm just talking about when people knew they were guilty. They didn't wait for the invitation. They got up and said, God, I can't pray no more. I don't want to make the risk of you coming and I ain't ready yet. I remember in church when people spent the whole sermon. Because that's where they need to be. We done got so sophomoric and sophisticated that most of us, when we do have prayer, won't even come. And we know we're guilty. But this is your opportunity. Because he's saying to you, I came for you. I didn't come for those who think they got it going on. And that's why the Lord gonna walk by a whole lot of us.
And we're going to consider that a dignified statement of our devotion. But he said, I'm really on a mission for sinners. If you'll just be honest with yourself, you'll just come. You'll just come. Grace is available. You'll just come. Our doors are open if you'll just come. And it's not about joining our church. His grace, Jesus is calling. If you'll just come. Would you walk into a hospital in need of care and turn around and walk out without getting care? Would you walk into a restaurant and you're hungry and not eat? Would you go into a store and not purchase? Then why would you come to Christ with an opportunity and not say yes? It's so simple. In the day that you hear his voice, you ought to just come. Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And whoever believes, can I survey very quickly the believers? I just need to know. Would you come? The grace of God is calling you. Remember that old game we used to play when we were children? Come out, wherever you are. And those of us who were good hiders said, nah, you ain't gonna get me. We can hide good. How many of y'all were good at hiding? They could never find you. That's happening in the church right now. People are sitting in this room hiding. And God is calling, calling, and calling. And he's searching and searching and searching. And you are hiding. But let me tell you, this is no game. The sun's going down. Darkness is coming. My Lord, my God, don't let it pass you by. If you're here, you're looking for Christ, you ought to come. You're looking for church discipleship, you ought to come. You ought to come because he loves you. God bless you, dear. Praise God for you. Praise God for you. Come on, praise God for you. God bless you. God bless you. Grace is calling. Grace is still calling. Please understand that.